From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of April, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Mike Barwinski will be here to take up the agricultural energy markets. We'll close out the half hour by talking with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, we'll get an update of crop progress across the five top corn-producing states of the nation. They are, in order, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on the Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day with the nearby May wheat futures up 10 and 3 quarters of a cent at $7.85 and 3 quarters. July at $8.21, up 10 and a quarter. Hard red July, a gain of 30 and a quarter cents at $9.39 and 3 quarter cents, that in Kansas City. May futures back in Chicago for the corn pit at $7.49, a settlement price there down 2 and 3 quarters. July at $7.57, 2 and a half cents lower. September corn at $7.15 and a half, up 3 and a half. And December futures at $6.76 after making a brand new high of $6.80, finished up 7 3/4. The final price there again, $6.76 a bushel. March corn at $6.84 1/4 for next year, up 7 3/4. May soybeans $13.42, 2 1/4 lower. July at $13.54, down a buck and third buck, down a penny and 3/4. And August at $13.57 1/2, up 3/4. September futures up 2 1/4 at $13.55, and November at $13.54. up 4 3/4 of a cent. May bean meal futures at $3.46.40, down $1.40. May bean oil at $57.53, 14 cents higher on the afternoon. April live cattle at $119.25, up $1.07.5. June at $117.17.5, $1.37.5 higher. April feeders at $132.85, up 22.5 cents. May contract at $134.47.5, up $1.25. May lean hog futures $103.25, up 42.5 cents for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil futures at $108.15 a barrel, up $1.03. Ethanol at $2.62 1/10. That's a penny lower on the day. Natural gas at $4.27 2/10, up 13 4/10. And heating oil at $3.15 7/10, 2.5 cents lower. Gold futures at $1,494.50, up $2.20. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,254, up 52 points at this hour. U.S. dollar at 75.04, down 0.46. The CRB at 360.83, up 1.43. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. Remember, it has predicted a tornado watch for portions of central and southern Illinois effective until 9 p.m. this evening, central time. Tornadoes, hail, thunderstorms, wind gusts, and dangerous lightning are possible in those areas. In the immediate WILL severe weather coverage area, the tornado watch includes the following counties in Illinois: Coles, Douglas, Edgar, and Moultrie counties. The hazardous weather outlook is for portions of east central Illinois. Thunderstorms should redevelop later this afternoon and continue into the tonight. There is a moderate risk that these storms will be severe with very large hail, very strong damaging winds and gusts and thunderstorms and tornadoes. The storms are expected to evolve into a squall line with a continued threat of damaging wind gusts and large hail. Tomorrow on Wednesday, we should see partly sunny skies with a high near 54 degrees, northwest winds at 11 to 18, August to 23, and tomorrow night partly cloudy, a low of 33 degrees, north-northwest winds at 6 to 10 miles an hour, they'll gust all the way to 15. By the time we get to Thursday, it'll be partly sunny again. A high of 53, east winds at 7 to 13. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms likely, cloudy, and a low of 43 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
I'll tell you what, I made a very quick trip to St. Louis really early in the morning this morning and then back around 8 o'clock today. And there was a lot of rainfall between here in Urbana-Champaign and there. And I think we probably got some isolated spots that I would guess north of St. Louis and south of Springfield, maybe they're going to push 2.25 to 3 inches.
We've heard 3 inches in some areas over here that we got, along with the a dime to quarter size hail that whitened up the yard out here this morning. We lost power here for a little while this morning, not for very long, but it was quite a storm that went through over through our area too, Todd. And I think that we've got some pretty soaked fields right now, and that's why December corn hit up higher on the day.
Yeah, you know it's when you're on the highway and you see the ditches along the interstate filled with water and it's running, you know you've had a lot of rain. So things managed to move higher. On the flip side, the hard red winter wheat, Kansas City leading things up, and they don't have any rain at all.
You know, dry in that area, dry in China, Russia coming with the comment that they're not going to restart their export program here as soon as some of them thought. All of those things together, and with some of the winter damage and some of the crop ratings that we've seen over the last few weeks, especially dropping 2 percentage points in the wheat ratings this last week, wheat's the strong boy on the board.
It is the strong boy on the board. I think one of the important parts, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but December corn gaining pretty sharply on the nearby May contract today. That's new.
That, we're coming back out of that reversal of that spread and putting the attitude towards the December again. Like I say, I think that it is all the weather. It is the idea of we aren't getting in the ground, and the weather forecast looks rather wet for at least the remainder of the week.
Yeah, through the remainder of the week, and sometimes the trade gets ahead of itself. I don't know whether this is the case yet or not. What do you see really when things might turn to the point that they should get worried? I don't imagine you're thinking it's now.
My calendar says April on it, Todd.
yeah, I know.
We said and have known for a long time that we generally don't see a lot of good planting weather till after Easter. So after Sunday, I look for the weather pattern to start to change. And if we can get to the field in the first 2 weeks of May, we're still going to have a very good corn crop if other things go along with it. I mean, of course, we have a whole growing season to go, but if we can get back in the field here by the end of April, 1st of May, we have awfully large equipment now, and it can half that crop and can go in a 4-day period if the weather's right.
Farmers out of the field, they've been giving you a call and chatting about the marketplace much?
You know, pretty quiet today as far as that goes, but everybody is wondering, how far do you think December corn can go if it keeps raining?
And do you have an answer for them?
Not a good one, I guess, but I think that $7 is going to be a big obstacle to push through, and we're probably going to be advising a few more sales in the 685 to 695 range.
So. How about for beans? You got some targets there?
Well, the beans aren't quite as easy because they've sold off a little bit here like that. If we could get back up anywhere close to the $14 mark, we want to be very aggressive.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Mm-hmm.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. If you want to hear Wayne again, you've got a couple of choices. You can visit our website at willag.org and listen to the Closing Market Report there, or you can dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that our mobile analyst portal. Really, it's just voicemail. You can dial it up at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day, Central Time, of course, updated with either the openings or the closing numbers, and just a bit of analysis. It's all part of the service from here at willag.org. Up next, the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, with their updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 17, 2011. Winter just doesn't want to let go as areas of northern Iowa receive snow again over the weekend as cool, wet weather throughout most of Iowa has slowed field work. Temperatures for the week as a whole average 0.1 degree above normal, with extremes ranging from a high of 78 degrees on Tuesday to a low of 26 degrees on Saturday. Meanwhile, precipitation across Iowa averaged 1.21 inches, or about 50% above the weekly normal. Soil temperatures were averaging in the low to mid-40s as of Sunday, April 17th, and farmers are anxious for warm and dry weather so planting can begin in earnest. Just 2% of Iowa's corn acreage has been planted, compared with 16% at this time last year and the 6% producers normally have planted by this date. Some corn was planted early in the week, but as cooler weather arrived along with precipitation, most corn planting ceased. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 17th. Precipitation averaged 1.2 inches, which was slightly above normal. The wettest area of the state was in the southeastern crop reporting district, where they received 2.35 inches of rainfall, and consequently their topsoil moisture supplies were rated 70% in the surplus category. Cool temperatures and wet conditions allowed only 2.9 days suitable for field work, which kept many producers from planting corn across much of the state. Corn planting made marginal progress last week, advancing by only 5 percentage points, and is now at 9% complete. This compares to 29% planted last year and 9% for the 5-year average. The condition of the soft red winter wheat crop held steady from last week and was reported at 2% very poor, 7% poor, 26% fair, 56% good, and 9% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Precipitation in the forms of rain and snow fell in the latter part of the week, limiting corn planting progress. Soil temperatures fell the past week to lower 40s in the north and west, but remained in the mid-50s in the southeast. The much-needed moisture was able to provide some improvement in winter wheat conditions. Wheat conditions rated 2% very poor, 17 poor, 38 fair, 38 good, and 5% excellent, which is below last year's 66% good to excellent. Wheat jointed was at 7%. Corn planted stood at 3% compared to last year's 4% and even with average. The winter-like storms make conditions for cows still calving difficult. However, pastures will benefit from the moisture. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Weather conditions varied this past week from highs in the 70s on Tuesday to snow by week's end. Weekend snow pushed the 2010-2011 winter season to the fourth snowiest on record, according to the National Weather Service. Producers anticipate a full-scale field work to begin on April 25th, unchanged from last week's estimate. Land prepared for corn and soybean planting was 2% and 1%, respectively. Producers continue to prepare equipment and supplies for planting, and some have begun light tillage and spreading fertilizer. Other activities include calving and lambing. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 17th. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. Total precipitation ranged from 0.46 to 3.25 inches, leaving only 2.1 days suitable for field work during the week. Temperatures ranged from 1 degree to 6 degrees above normal, with a low of 29 degrees and a high of 86. Planting of corn only increased to 2% complete statewide, compared with 15% last year and 4% for the 5-year average. Planting and other field activities were held to a minimum due to rain showers and cool soil temperatures. Heavy rains left standing water in many fields, especially in southern counties. 58% of the winter wheat acreage is reported to be in good to excellent condition. 23% of the crop is jointed, compared with 30% last year and 28% for the 5-year average. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media and the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. You know, the wet weather has dropped farmers out of the field for a few days, and that should give them some time to come up to speed on the pests their crops will face this season. I'll have an update on which weeds they might want to look for and how they might treat them.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
The first things many will notice are some awfully purple fields, a few yards too. This year, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager, it appears several winter annual weed species have begun to flower a few days or weeks earlier than last spring. And he blames it on a very timely 2010 harvest. The open fields last fall may have helped promote earlier fall emergence of several species, and that improved their overwintering survival. Add in a few days of warm temperatures in March and early April, and Hager says splashes of color are becoming evident across the Illinois landscape. Purple is currently the most common, but white and yellow should soon follow. The two winter annual weed species producing the purple patches are henbent and purple dead nettle. A henbent is more commonly found throughout Illinois, while purple dead nettle, well, that one appears most often in the southern half of the state. For the farmer, flowering indicates that henbent is close to completing its life cycle and will likely be much more difficult to control with burned-down herbicides. But this does not mean an attempt should not be made before corn or soybean planting. Henbent and purple dead nettle are known to be hosts for a number of insects and disease pests, and mature seeds can survive in the soil seed bank for several years. Planting into dense patches of these species can be challenging and could result in poor seed placement. Pre-plant tillage or herbicides can provide some good to excellent control of existing henbent and purple dead nettle. And now, in general, 2,4-D and dicamba are weak on henbent, says Hager. Glyphosate can provide good control, but application rate should be as close to 1.1 pounds of active ingredient per acre for mature plants as possible. Combining glyphosate and 2,4-D or adding these two herbicides to other residual herbicides is also a popular broadband spectrum burn down. Cool temperatures, he says, like those from this past weekend, can slow the activity, though, of many burn down herbicides. And translocated herbicides sometimes act far more slowly than contact herbicides under these conditions. So the farmer needs to be patient. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the agricultural energy markets, as he does once a month and we do each and every Tuesday afternoon, is Mike Barwinski. He's with Louis Dreyfus Commodities and based in Kansas City. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time to spend with us today.
No problem. Thank you.
I know that Louis Dreyfus has a few ethanol plants and you watch over there, over them to some extent. Tell me about survival in this high-priced era.
Today ethanol prices are still high enough and corn basis is, still good enough that plants are producing at a margin. You know, when you look at, the end of old crop, and when harvest is going to be taking place, you know, late August, September, October, things get a lot more difficult for sure. You know, the basis out there and the ethanol price is just not, quite doing the job to incentivize plants to sell any margin out there or to lock anything in. You're basically going to need something that's going to have to give. Either ethanol prices are going to have to come up to compensate for that, or corn's going to have to come off to some extent.
What about that's further out than I was thinking. What about the June-July time frame?
June-July is still pretty decent. You know, I'd say most plants have okay coverage on, actually, to the point where even if they sell their ethanol today, they should be able to still produce at a, not at a great margin, but definitely they'll keep their doors open.
They'll have a tough time finding corn?
No. They won't have too bad because I think a lot of them have corn already contracted. Most plants today, from at least what we hear, you know, they're well covered at least through the end of June. As far as corn basis bought or corn owned through that delivery period, As far as July and August gets, things start to thin out quite a bit.
And then the new crop is when you start to get worried about your margin. Is that right? So
That's definitely when margin gets bad. But I agree. I see what you're trying to say is that will they be even able to enough corn to buy around July or August?
Right. Yeah.
And that is definitely a worry today. And, aside from margins. Is whether there be enough. We hear that the eastern Corn Belt plants are going to be in a lot more difficult situation because they have a lot less on-farm stocks there. Western Corn Belt, the general sense right now is that they should be fine through the end of old crop, but not many people plants have contracted enough, so it's still yet to be seen.
You think USDA's 5 billion bushel usage mark for ethanol is on target?
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty fair number.
And then go back to this end of the marketing year when we get into late August, September, and then, of course, October is in the next marketing year. But why is it that you're not confident that the margins will be there for ethanol production at that point?
Mostly because there's not a real compelling demand story on the ethanol side. We sort of capped out as far as the markets that we've worked our way into over the last few years. So while supply is not necessarily climbing, demand has not been keeping pace. So we've been building stocks, over the last couple of months, and we could even through the good driving season continue to build stocks at plants.
Actual stocks or RINs or both?
Actual stocks.
Actual stocks.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So there'll be stocks on hand at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Oh, well, that adds a whole new mix to my thought about the end of the year and what the marketing year might look like as we come on with a new corn crop. Could be interesting. The corn, in your opinion, might have to go down in order to incentivize ethanol production, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely, because today the numbers aren't there, but then again, the forward ethanol curve is so thinly traded that it's really hard to peg a value for physical gallons today.
Right. And so this production that's already there and laid up and waiting, how much you think is there? How long would it take to use it?
It's about generally between 20 and 24 days. That's the average over the last couple of years of what's on hand.
And is that what they put on hand normally so for the shutdown season in the month of August?
Yeah, I'd say there's a little bit of build up before plants start to take their scheduled downtime, but not too much because generally, July, August is your best driving months. So a lot of plants actually reduce their inventory going already into that plant shutdown. So that's why, July, August, Sep, you get your almost always get your best margins of the year.
And this year you're thinking that's not going to work.
Yeah, at least at today's levels.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Ethanol's probably going to have to do a little more work on that end when we get out to that time period.
Thank you so much, Mike.
No, thank you.
Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus. He's in Kansas City, joins us on Tuesday afternoons to take a look at the agricultural energy market. You can hear it again on our website at willag.org. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us.
It's National Amaretto Day. It's also Garlic Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1877, Ollie Evinrude was born. He invented the first practical outboard motor in 1909. The idea came to him while rowing a boat to a picnic one day. He decided there had to be an easier way to move a small boat on the water. He patented his engine a year later, and a new industry was soon created. In 1904, Richard Plow was born, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he also helped found the World Wildlife Fund. He also was one of the first to recognize the dangers of DDT on fish, frogs, and birds. In 1916, Ephraim Shea died. An American logger, he invented the Shea-geared small steam locomotive to haul heavy logging trains at low speeds over rough terrain with poorly laid uneven track. In 1975, Percy L. Julian died, an African-American chemist. He worked on synthesizing various compounds from soybeans. One of his creations was a foam fire extinguisher refined from soya protein used by the U.S. Navy in World War II. And in 1995, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that alcohol content could be listed on beer labels, overturning a 1935 law that had prohibited it. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the phone line with us today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don, I made a run from St. Louis back to Urbana-Champaign this morning about 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and holy smokes, there was a lot of rainfall from here to there. Do you have an idea how much we had in that area and how widespread that might have been across the Midwest?
Well, pretty widespread. It's a fast-moving system, but some of the thunderstorm cells, some of the heavier showers have to produce anywhere from as much as 3/4 to 1.5 inches of rain. And still tallying that as showers are still continuing in many areas. Get used to the wet. We are going to see a string of very quick-moving systems basically going west to east across the nation for the rest of this week through Easter weekend and into next week. The frequency of these systems mean that when you have a lot of them, that means they move quickly, but they're going to have a lot of water to work with. So very wet conditions.
Wet is one thing. Wet and cold is an entirely different animal to deal with, and it's not really very warm at the moment here.
No, and don't expect it to be getting much warmer. Temperatures for most of the northern, central, Great Lakes, New England, and the West is going to see below normal temperatures over the next week. The only part of the United States looking at near average temperatures will be the Delta, the Southeast, down into some areas of the Southwest United States. The only area in the Midwest that may be trending close to normal will be the Ohio Valley area, but otherwise, nothing but cool and wet coming for the next week.
And then you better go out to the Southwest and those parts of Oklahoma, Texas that have just been aching for a rainfall, and they haven't received anything.
No, and while there is going to be the chance for some showers and thunderstorms with these fronts extending south into Texas, Texas, I think, is the big loser here in terms of not getting the amount of rain they need. I think they're going to get some. Oklahoma, chances are better. Unfortunately, with some of that rain in Oklahoma, is going to be a lot of severe weather. The area of Oklahoma, though, that will still suffer will be the West. Those areas, the Panhandle region, southwest Kansas, the Texas Panhandle, will be the bride left at the altar, I'm afraid.
And can you check in on the winter wheat in the northern growing regions of the globe? So in China and France, Ukraine, while you're in China, maybe an update on what their spring looks like, too.
Well, they are going to be looking at a weather pattern that's not going to be as cool, but certainly the chances of good precipitation in terms of areas of widespread China should get some precipitation, at least average, if not above normal. So they're looking wet, maybe not as cool as here in North America, but still, temperatures aren't going to be, they're going to be far from warm. In Europe, I guess that's one area where we actually see the weather behaving a little bit differently. It does look like Eastern Europe and areas of the western Ukraine are going to be a little bit dry, not necessarily real hot, but if there's going to be a dry area, I would say eastern Europe, the western Ukraine, western Russia, at least over the next week, will be lacking a little bit in the way of moisture.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Stay dry. Don't worry too much just yet. And we'll talk with you again tomorrow afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.